So the message today that I would like to offer you, to share with you, is called Growing Up in God's Presence. Growing Up in God's Presence. And as we know that the Christmas season that we're in now, it's all about kids. It's all about kids. I mean, I love the Christmas decorations in my house, but it seems like the more experience I have, the more, and I do appreciate it, all the people that decorated this sanctuary here. It's beautiful. We really appreciate that. But, you know, it's really about children and about young people, to me, that Christmas is all about. I mean, think about it this way. God chose to send his son to the world, and it all started out with a little baby. Actually, it started with the pregnancy, because Jesus was there at the moment of conception, and he was there from the very beginning. And so it's about children. And how do you know that in America, there's a war going on over the kids? There's a war going over the kids. And they're being, you know, killed in the womb. Or they're, after they become teenagers, their flesh is being hacked off. Okay? So I want to share with you a message about what it means to grow up in God's presence. And it's about one of the miracle babies in the scripture. Can you think of some miracle babies? Who can think of some miracle babies? Someone just raise a hand. Huh? Samuel? Moses? Isaac was a miracle baby. Who else? Jesus? Absolutely. Dave Pendleton, miracle baby. Lydia, miracle baby. John the Baptist was a miracle baby. His parents were too old, right? Too old. Another miracle baby where God spoke directly, and when he did, it happened. I mean, it's kind of hard to deny that, right? It's hard to say, well, here I am. I would not be here if it wasn't for God. And we could all say that, but especially when it seems like it would never happen. And so I'm going to talk to you about Samuel today. And this, again, is a message that is new to me. It's kind of fresh because I've never talked about Samuel like this. And we are going to focus on the boy, Samuel. The infant, Samuel, not Samuel. Okay, so let's look in the Word of God. Turn to the Word of God, and we're going to go to Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to look at this chapter. Samuel chapter 1. Okay, Samuel chapter 1. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Word of God. We honor the Word of God. We thank you that the Word is life. And in the Word was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And so, Father, we say, let the light shine brightly this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Okay. So we're going to look, starting from verse 1, and we're going to read. I'm not going to read all the names out here, but I'm going to kind of go through it. Verse 1, and we've got a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim. Okay, let's go to verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Hannah had no children. And so this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. Everybody say worship and sacrifice. This is a flag in the very beginning of Samuel, of this book, that says, pay attention, this story is about worship and sacrifice. And you're going to see it. It's all going to be about it. But that's the key. Sometimes the Lord will just highlight that. He said, this man went every year from wherever he was. He took a long journey, and he was faithful to worship. He was faithful to worship, and he sacrificed when he did it every year, all the time that he needed to be there. Okay, and two sons of Eli. Now, one day when Elkanah sacrificed, he gave portions. Okay, what they did is they sacrificed a cow, a calf, sheep, whatever, and then they would divide it up. And what happened with Peninnah? Peninnah got her portions because she had kids. So she got extra. But Hannah got a double portion because he loved her. The double portion is beautiful. And it's something that means a lot in the scriptures. And if you're familiar with the word of God, you'll hear double portion. You're going, whoa, that's got my attention. This is special. And he loved her. He gave to her out of love. So we're seeing that this is about worship. And this story is about love. Though the Lord had closed her womb. She could not have children. And I just need to say it like this. The Bible says the Lord closed her womb because the Lord will open the womb. In other words, God's in control of whatever circumstance you're in. And so they're just telling you something is going to happen. God's going to open this womb. Okay? Because he's the one that's in control. He is God. So her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year, and every time she went up, I mean, that's a long journey. I don't know how many days it was, but think about going up there the entire journey and having this woman get on your case nonstop. Nonstop. And she was very distressed. She prayed and she wept bitterly. She vowed a vow in verse 11. She said, if you look on me, on my affliction, and remember me, don't forget your servant. I will give to your servant a son. I, and you will give him a son. Then I will give him to the Lord. So if you give me a son, I'm your servant. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. All the days of his life. And then, how many of you know the next part of it? And I will dwell in the house, come on, of the Lord forever. It's the great psalm that everybody knows, right? All the days of his life. And don't you want to put in there, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? And we're going to see that's Samuel. Because what happened? She prayed. Eli said, go in peace. And look at verse 19. They rose early that morning and worshiped before the Lord. And they went back to their house. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. And so now they went up there. She had the baby. As soon as the child is weaned, in verse 22, I'll bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. We're talking about a son who comes to in the presence of the Lord and stays there the entire time. As we see this story, we're going to see there's only one name that really fulfills this, Jesus. A son who is in the house of the Lord forever and dwells there forever. It's in the presence of the Lord. And so he said, do what's best. Only may the Lord establish his word. Again, Jesus is the answer to the establishing of the word of the Lord. No word of God is established without Jesus. He is the word of God. He's the Logos. In the beginning was the word. And so it was through Jesus that we have the word established. And then look on here. Wow. Look at verse 26. Oh, my Lord, as you live. My Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. And this child I prayed, and the Lord granted my petition that I made him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he belongs, or he is given to the Lord. And he, who's he? Samuel. Samuel worshiped the Lord there. This baby that was just weaned. The baby. Now, I don't know what the weaning time is exactly in those days, but you're talking about a little kid, really little, like probably younger than Micah. Okay? Probably younger. And it's interesting, he was worshiping as an infant in the presence of God. Now, that needs to be preached. Because if you see that you've got a baby and that baby knows how to worship the God from the moment of the womb, listen, you got to think that. You can't just think that somehow that they can't worship when they get to be how many years old? That means that baby's worshiping God. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist did a backflip when Jesus showed up and heard the voice of his mom. He was praising God in the womb. And did a big time kick, right? Kicking up joy for Jesus. He got radical, right? In the womb. And I've seen two or three videos now. I go on Twitter every now and then where someone put a video of an infant baby sitting in a crib and there's worship music on and the baby's going. I've seen it. I didn't bring it here, but you can find it. They're like, just grinning and putting their hands up. Then you go to church somewhere and you look at people worshiping the Lord. Like my buddy, who's no longer with us, Cost Dare, would say, tell your face to praise the Lord. They get in there like, I'm here to praise God. You know? It's true. You see this little baby do it, you're like, woo! I want you to hear this over and over again about worship. So now we go to chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Hannah finishes her song. She sings this big, long song, and I'm not going to preach on that today. But it says in verse 11, Hannah sings her song. And look at this. Elkanah went home to Ramah, and it says the boy was doing what? That infant boy was ministering to the Lord. Where? In the presence of the high priest. Inside the tabernacle of God. That infant's ministering to the Lord. Now tell me if that isn't a miracle. Think about it. I don't know what they had that baby doing, but put a little, maybe it was a little maraca in his hand or some kind of praise thing. I don't know, but Samuel started ministering immediately. And I'm telling you that Wellspring Fellowship has a value on worship. The reason why we are here is to worship the Lord in the presence of the Lord. It's all about the presence. And we believe that Wellspring Fellowship here, that every child, no matter how young, can worship God. It's not like they all of a sudden wake up one day and become a being, a human being. No. Amen. We believe in that. And we believe, and look, they were taking care of him, and he was ministering the Lord. What he does in God's presence is just as important of everybody else in the house of the Lord. Don't you look down on them. Give them a flag. You know what I'm saying? Make them jump. Let them jump for joy. Now, they're under the direction of the high priest there. But look at this. Keep going. Look in verse 18. I just want you to see the emphasis here. I got them all highlighted in my Bible. Look in verse 18. It says that he was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed in a linen ephod. And his mom used to make used to make for him a little robe, take it to him each year, and when he went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So every year he got a new robe. It was a priestly robe. And they wore white robes. Think about that, a little kid in the temple wearing white robes. That's hard to imagine. Because we know what little kids usually do is make everything dirty. Verse 21, and indeed the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew, where? In the presence. So what's the most important thing about being in God's house, in the temple of God? It's being in the presence of the Lord. And we want this place to be a place where people grow in the presence of God. Not grow in religion or doing religious things. We're talking about the manifest presence of God. You've got to know His presence. You've got to know what it means when Jesus shows up. You got to know when you're hearing the word of God and God is putting His Spirit on that word and He's speaking to you. It's not just another Bible teaching. Let me tell you, I grew up in a church and heard teachings. But there came a time when I heard the presence and knew the presence of God on that teaching. There's a difference. There is a difference. There's a difference when you're singing a song, and there's a difference when the presence of God is in what you're singing. There's a witness of the spirit of the heart. And Samuel was educated from an infant to know the presence of God. That's what he was shown how to know. We need to know what the presence of God. I've walked into situations, and the presence of God was there, and people just... We've had people walk in this room and start to cry. And they were like, I don't know if I can be at this church. Because they didn't understand the presence of the Lord. Number one manifestation of being in the presence of God is tears. Tears of faith. I don't know why. I just start crying. That's nothing wrong with that. But they're not taught that. So they think something's wrong when it's not. We need to teach people to live in the presence of God and to expect the presence of God and to know the Spirit of God. Because the Word of God without the Spirit of God, Paul said, is a dead letter. It's dead. And God raised the man, He raised Samuel from an infant in the presence of the Lord. This is what we want here. This is what we've seen here. We've seen this. Singing in the Spirit, dancing. We need more of this. Amen? I just want you to hear this because I feel like it is so foundational to our identity as a church. This is what we're about. You look at it and the values on the wall out there. The number one thing is the presence of God. Now let's look some more. Okay, so let's think about now what it means to live in the house of God. He grew up from a baby. White linen robes represent what? A clean living, right? Holiness. So that means if you're in the presence of God and you're living in the presence of God, you're wearing white robes. That's because you're living right. And it's for real. Number two, listen to this. Trusting God for provision. If you're a priest in the house of God, guess what you're not doing is farming. You can't do both. You can't do both. And so you're trusting God. All the priests, everybody inside the temple was relying on the goodness of the nation or their people they ministered to for their survival, for living. And I know that's true because I've done it. I know there are times when I've taken a job in the community and that was part of God's provision. But I also know that my money comes from the Lord. It does. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. How about teaching that to our babies? That you're getting blessed because of the presence of God. You're getting blessed because you are ministering to the Lord, and therefore you don't have to fret over money. Worry over money. Okay? I'm living it every day. Praise God. What else? We offer up sacrifices. They took things that were costly and they gave them to Jesus. That's what he learned growing up from a baby. They had an atmosphere of incense. Sweet, beautiful smell in the room because of what they did. It wasn't a stinky, stinky place. Here's another one. Samuel grew up in a community of worship. He was not the lone bird sitting on the fence tweeting a song to Jesus. He had to have a community of people. And just like when we sang today, I didn't know who was going to have a prophetic song. I didn't know Yvonne would. I didn't know Liz would. I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? We need each other to praise the Lord. And your willingness to just worship and express yourself, and it's risky, by the way. It's risky as a pastor, and it's risky as a person sitting here. A lot of pastors don't allow freedom in worship. You know why? It's too messy. It's just too messy. Who cares about the mess? The Bible says, if you don't have an ox in the stall, you won't ever have to clean it up. Well, I want an ox in the stall. I'll just clean up the horse stall because I like horses. Right? It just comes with it. And that's good. You want that. But a lot of churches don't want it because they don't want to clean it up. Because then you might have to act like Jesus and love somebody or forgive somebody. Far be it. Wait a minute. You see, I'm sorry, I'm being sarcastic. But you know what I'm saying is that we need to learn to take risks in the presence of God because that's how you spell faith. R-I-S-K. No risk. How can that be faith? That means you do something that you may not normally do. That means you may be embarrassed. And that's okay. It's okay to be embarrassed. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have this little baby there with all that temple stuff going on? He's just there hanging out. Wow. Okay, last thing. Community worship, serving others. He was raised in an atmosphere of serving other people. That means I'm here to be a blessing. That's an attitude you pick up from a community. Last but not least, let's go on here. All right, turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Okay? 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 1. He was started on milk. Keep going. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk. Now that is the ESV. I don't like the way they translated it. The word means, I like King James better, really. It's the milk of the word. The Greek language there is where we get our word logic from. In other words, I want you to be raised on the word of God so that you can become smart in the ways of God. And isn't that what we teach children, how we teach? Well, I mean, I want to teach my kids and now my grandkids, I want to teach them how to be smart in the ways of God. And you got to just be in the Word. So in the beginning, from the very beginning, children need to hear the Word. From the very beginning, Scriptures. And not just once in a while. We all need to have the milk of the Word. I still like milk, okay? What does it say? that by it you may grow up in salvation, and that we're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. Now let's go to Luke chapter 4. I want you to see something about Jesus here. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And we're going to wrap it up. Okay, Jesus came to his hometown where he was brought up, and as was his custom. Everybody say custom. That means he'd done it a whole long time, a whole bunch of time, right? That means when Sunday came, where was he? Church. It wasn't an option. It wasn't a, oh, I might do this. No, this is the Sabbath. I'm at the synagogue. And by the way, Samuel grew up in a continual Sabbath. In other words, every day was the same for him. He never had a job outside the temple. That's amazing. It's amazing. He never had a job outside the temple. It says, and so Jesus had established custom of going to church every Sabbath, every Sunday here, Sabbath there. And then what it says, on his custom, he stood up to read. So his custom was to read. So that means he read the Word of God every day. He knew how to read. And he knew how to find a place in the Bible. He knew how to be led by the Spirit to open up to the right scripture. I pray that. I say, Lord, I mean, there's 66 books in the Bible and a whole lot of verses. What do you want me to preach on today? I want all of you to grow up in the Lord and know what God has to say to you for that day. God has a fresh word for you every day. Every day. One of the first things I did when I first got saved is I just took out a spiral binder and I just started reading the Bible. And every verse that struck me in the heart, I wrote it out back before these. By hand. I just wrote them out. I just wrote them out. Why? They were hitting me right here. So Jesus went to church. He read the Word of God. He knew where to find Isaiah. And he went right to the scripture that God spoke to him. We want this for all of you and all of our kids. Can somebody say amen to that? Yeah, give me a minute. I'm almost through it and we can talk. But then he said this. He unrolled the scroll, found the place, and then he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he finished that passage by saying, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So, Samuel started a school of prophets. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 10. So when the king came, Saul, to be anointed, when he anointed the king, Saul, in 1 Samuel 10, he said, I want you to look for this group or community of prophets. Notice that to had to be a prophet, you were not the Lone Ranger. You were in a community because they created an atmosphere so that when Saul joined them, the presence of the God was so strong, he just started prophesying with them. I've seen it. I've seen people flow in the anointing or the Holy Spirit because they're here. They don't carry that anointing, but when they get here, they do stuff that they don't usually do. I've seen it. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that does it. It's not something you make yourself do, but they just step into it. I call it stepping into it. The anointing or the putting on the garments of praise, and we have certain garments that people can put on, and they do things that they don't normally do. And this is what Samuel established. So here's a guy raised in the presence of God, starts a school. Look at now, last place, Acts chapter 19. I want to finish on this. This is just an amazing thing because this is not just a vision for the Old Testament. This, or else we'd have a tent over here somewhere, you know, and be meeting, you know what I mean, meeting. Yeah, killing cows, and it'd be kind of messy. And so, but I want you to look at Acts chapter 19, and I want you to look at the first verse, and we're just going to look at Paul's trip. So Acts chapter 19, I'm giving you a lot of scripture because I feel like this is important, okay? So Acts 19, Paul goes to Ephesus, okay? Ephesus, all right? He found 12 disciples, next verse, 12 disciples. 12 disciples. Now, number one question to ask any disciple, how are you in the Holy Spirit? They said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. What does he do? You know, I've made the confession, Jesus is Lord. I've done, huh? He had to. I don't know. You know, it says they all received the Spirit. And I don't think it's even specific. Go to the next verse. We haven't even heard. He goes, what kind of baptism? Well, we got John's baptism. All right. But then he said, okay, well, you need Jesus' baptism. And first of all, we all got to get this around Jesus and not John. Okay, he does that. Next verse. Keep going. Right. Name of the Lord Jesus. And it says the Holy Spirit came on him. And look what they were doing. Just what they did on day of Pentecost. Spoke in tongues and prophesied. So the issue is Holy Spirit. So 12 people. Got it? Everybody say 12. 12. That's it. That's the first church he had in Ephesus. I want you to see where this ends by verse 11. Okay? Keep going. He goes to synagogue and he's preaching. Next verse. But guess what happens? Some get stubborn and reject. We see that. We know that. So he took disciples from the synagogue. And then he says, reasoning daily in the hall. Look at the word hall there. That hall is kind of a interesting word. It's where the word is schola. It's where we get the word school from. So he was reasoning. He was teaching in the school. He went to a school and stayed there. And that word school literally means leisure or just taking it easy. In other words, it's the opposite of work. So you're not out in the farm. You're not fishing. You're not doing all this labor, because that's all the kind of labor they did in those days, whether you're making objects or you're doing anything. But a school was a place where you weren't doing labor. You were sitting there studying. And that's a different, so that's where we get the word school from. But look, go to the next verse. How long did he stay in the school? He taught for 2 years, and in some of the Bibles, manuscripts we have, from 11 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon every day. For 2 years. But look what happened. All residents of Asia. Asia, guys. Not Ephesus. Asia. Everybody heard. Everybody heard. He impacted. He started with 12 disciples, and he ends up with him in 2 years getting the word out to everyone in all of Asia, which is modern Turkey today. All in 2 years because he did a school. Because he did a school. It was the school, for him, it was the school of the Spirit. For Samuel, it was the school of being in the temple from being an infant. And I'm telling you, the calling of this place is for the instruction and the schooling of from infant to whatever age, because it will impact a region and not just your local 12 dudes. I'm telling you, God has always called us to that. We've done that. I get calls all the time for people that say to me, because of you teaching me, I'm just saying me because that's the one I know about, right, guys? I'm just telling you, because of this, I've done this, I've done that, I've been here, I've done this. And it's because of the school of the Spirit. It's not the school of the dead letter. It's the school of the Spirit that produces impact for both Jews and Greeks. Not just Jews. The heathen. What an impact. One city. And so, where did the Apostle John go when he retired? Ephesus. That's where he was. The Apostle John went there. Timothy was the bishop over there first. But then John eventually, but he was an old dude, when he finally passed, then he was exiled to Patmos. But they operated out. That was the central city for Christianity in all of Asia. Ephesus. Why? There it is. That's the reason. So, do you hear me today? I'm telling you, I believe the Lord, it wants to reemphasize our commitment from infant all the way. And that it's in the presence of God and the Word of God, and that it is so important for us to see that. And there is a school of the Spirit. There are people that are going to be trained and released. I'll never forget it. We were in the basement on Hazelwood Lane, and they said, this one guy came in and said, we were all sitting there, maybe a little more than 12, but it was like, people are going to come and they're going to go. Because they're not meant to stay here because you're a training center. That's what they said. I've seen it. I mean, I can just go just name some churches and we'll tell you. It used to be who we raised up there, those places. And I think God continued to do it. Because of that mentality. And I believe that's the call of God in our church. And I want us to just emphasize that and be strong in that. And it's just what he's called us to be. And there's more. We're not stopping. We're not changing. And we're just getting another graduating class. That's how it is. God will just keep bringing them in. Well, but I just felt like I wanted to share and impart that to y'all about who we are. We're a school. We're a school of the Spirit. And we start, I mean, it just blew my mind. I was just saying how Samuel was so little and how he must have made it with all those dudes in the temple. You know, for just growing up in that atmosphere. And I believe that we can have that atmosphere here. Amen. Let's pray, okay? So, Father, we just thank you for, the example that you gave, where Samuel is so much like Jesus. He was so much like Jesus because of everything you did when he was just a baby, just an infant, Lord. It was so much like him because he was a miracle baby, so much like him because he immediately was in the presence of God from his infancy. And Jesus, you were that way. People came from all over the world just to witness you when you were a baby in a manger. And how valuable that is. And Father God, we just pray that we would be a place of your presence and worship and service and kindness to the people in the world, and trusting you for provision. In so many ways, Lord, let just this continue, Lord, and be multiplied so that we can have the impact that Paul had for a whole region. We just praise you in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.